Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
La la la. I love that. La la la. Fontaines DC. Jackie Down the Line. The lead single off their third studio album, Skinty Fear. Released on the 12th of January 2022 on Partisan Records. Produced by Dan Carey and mastered by Christian Wright at Abbey Road in Londinium, London town. There you go.
Their first number one album. In both Ireland and the UK.
Well done, lads.
Well, yeah, brilliant.
What a band.
I've been listening to them for years.
I haven't.
Ah, there
I think
you
I've
are.
Been listening to them for about a week.
Yeah, well, well, this is the thing. It's the fact that we take a grip of these bands early on. But let's talk first about the producer, Dan Carey, because one of his first major productions he ever did was for Fatboy Slim.
No way.
Yes.
Are you doing secret research behind my back?
Hot Chip.
In front of my
Franz
back.
Ferdinand. And of course, he did Wet Leg. He also plays synthesizer in Wet Leg.
True.
Yeah.
Now, I read about the synth thing after we did last week's show, and I was like, damn, I should have put that in there, you know, because, you know, playing synth on the Wet Leg album was, you know, a pretty cool thing to be known for. I love the fact we're talking about these producers, because the bands, actually, when they do employ a producer, when they feel that they need that outside influence, they're just as much a part of the sound as anything, aren't they? In fact, they help. They're like another member of the band, in a sense.
Yeah, and I think the whole production thing is quite interesting, because there's two ways that producers go. You get the producer who just sits there and does bugger all, really.
And puts a credit on.
Yeah. Or the producer really get involved, you know.
See.
The last in the category, of course, is my particular favourite producer, Daniel Lanois, who really gets involved and plays guitar and sings.
Another Dan.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, so, and then, you know, there are others that just sort of hang around on a couch and just sort of look at people and sort of just
make them feel good.
Yeah, make them feel good, yeah. But I'm not exactly sure what type of producer Dan is, but whatever it is, it's good. What is really interesting about this record is that the overall sound of it is sort of, it's like Dead Restrained. You know, it's a rock and roll band. This, you know, it's guitars, bass, drums, vocals.
La la la.
Yeah, and la,
sorry,
la.
I
and,
find that really lovely, the fact that there's a guy singing that. It's
it
kind
is
of fun.
It really is in that sort of Irish.
I know
accent
that
as well.
Lilt.
Yeah, you know, very Irish. You know, because they haven't tried to disguise, or he hasn't tried to disguise his accent at all, has he?
No.
You know, so it's
how do you pronounce it? Is it Grian or Grian?
Now, I don't know, because Irish
Sorry,
names.
Mate. Chatton, he's the lead singer.
Yeah, it's really tricky to
he was
to
born
pronounce.
In Barrow, but he grew up in Ireland, so.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was interesting that. I mean, you got Carlos O'Connell on guitar and art
Carlos!
I know, but he grew up in Madrid. It's a bit like, you know, we have like Joao's, which are Jean's, and in Portugal we have Pedro's. And it's interesting. You've got Connor Curley on guitar, Connor Deegan III on bass. Hello. All right, mate. Bass brother.
Connor.
And Tom Cole on drums, percussion. So that's pretty darn good. Great lads. Just, I'm not really a lads type of band, but this, since we programmed the show, I've spent, obviously, hours researching, just like soaking myself in the bath of the Fontaines, D.C. Fontaines, do you know where their name comes from? Let's go here. Let's go for the little
the
knowledge,
thing is,
trivial
is
knowledge that, quest. The
what normally
question.
Happens on this show is that Susan has a secret pad of notes.
It's so true.
And she just didn't tell me. And she reveals it at the last moment. But
Senor.
I know so much about this band. I don't want you to surprise me about anything.
I think
so.
So
go on.
Okay.
Try and surprise me.
Right, okay.
Try and catch me out.
Right then. So the name comes from Fontaines. The name of the band comes from a character in The Godfather called Johnny Fontaine, played by Al Martino. Mm. And then they had to change they added the DC on because there was another band in LA called The Fontaines. And do you know what DC stands for?
Yes.
Go on then.
Dublin City.
Get. True.
There
true.
You go.
Do you want a piece of that, love? No way. You got it.
Do you want peas? Chips. Chips. Your chips.
Drop gravy. No way. Okay then. Did you know where they met? Don't look.
Dublin. No, I also don't know that.
Yeah, they did.
No. Well, they
at music college. No, isn't it funny? Because there was that whole thing in the 60s, 70s when everyone met at art college. And now the art colleges have been surpassed, you know, by the fact that everyone meets at music college, because that's where the two girls from Wet Leg met at music college.
Right.
So we've got, music college. And so, did you go on?
I want to
tell you something really lovely.
No,
about
tell
Fontaines.
Me something really lovely.
What really got me about these guys, because I love the fact that, as you say, he's got this accent and he sings with it. Quite, it'd be like be like me if I had a Herefordshire accent where I come from. All right, then, I'm going down the road. You know, when you've got a real country accent, you're like, oh, he left a tractor, you know, on the side of the road.
Now, what's that band that you came from Herefordshire? Oh, Connor?
It's Shag Connor and the Carrot Crunchers. I kid you not. It's the greatest comedy album of the 70s. I have inherited it from my parents on vinyl. In fact, they had a few. And there was like, it was like the Cockerel of the West, I think is one of them. But honestly, it was like, you know, that era when you, you know, like now we've got Joe Rogan and all the comedians going through and all the comedy nights now. And there are even comedy nights in Herefordshire that I've been looking at recently just because I've been looking at all these gigs and stuff that we're playing. And so Shag Connor and the Carrot Crunchers.
Oh, dear.
So anyway, and there's footage on YouTube, by the way. Not much, but playing in a barn with chickens and hay bales. Anyway,
carry
on.
Less shag, more fontaines.
So these boys are really... I really like them, and it's like, how do I relate to them? And it's intrigued me, really, because they actually had a shared love of poetry as well. That's what really connected them in.
Right.
So they collectively released two collections of poems. One was called Vroom, inspired by the beat poets Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg.
Ah.
And Winding, which was inspired by Irish poets Patrick Kavanagh, James Joyce and Yeats. And television screens on their debut album, Doggerel, started out as a poem and was turned into a song.
Mm.
So they've got this kind of edge, and they're more than punk, they're more than post-punk, because they actually can play and they actually do things. They're not just like being angry or saying
It's actually a very sophisticated sound, because what I like about it, there's a lot of arrangement in there in terms of the instruments. You listen to those guitars, they're really, really beautifully done. The rest of the album is really good as well. I would urge you to listen to it, because it's got a lot of depth. I know.
Sorry, it keeps going on in my head.
It really gets you, you know?
It's weird.
And Dan Carey clearly has worked with him. He's worked with all the three albums, so he's sort of built up. And, you know, he's become a bit of flavour of the month now, the producer, you know, with the Wet Leg situation. And he really is, he's got a sound. There's a sound he's got, Dan Carey, that you know, he's actually put onto these guys. And the funny thing is a friend of ours, Chris Honor from the Isle of Man, who's a guitar player.
Lovely, lovely guy. Yeah, lovely player too.
Yeah, and great singer. And he went to see him, and he's been to see him a few times, and he posted on Instagram a few weeks ago, so he'd been to see him as they're really good. I know that Chris is like he's an instrumental guy, he's a musical guy.
He knows his shit.
So would love to see him. When they come over, I'm sure we're going to try and check him out.
Well, Skinty Fear, by the way, intriguing name, because it's used colloquially as an expletive. The title roughly translates from the Irish language into English as the damnation of the deer. And the spelling, it's like a crassly anglicised spelling, and its meaning's been diluted through generations. And it really refers to the theme of this album as the extinct Irish giant deer. It represents Ireland's identity for the band and what it means to be Irish in 2022, even as they move away from home.
If you're traveling a band and you get to Frankfurt, there's an icy feeling in the air, and your feelings could get hurt. We got to the venue and asked the guys, is our equipment here? And they said,
this is not possible.
We said, well, it's cold outside and it's raining cats and dogs. Could we at least come inside and eat a Frankfurter hot dog? We asked, is this at all remotely plausible? And they said,
this is not possible.
I said, but we need to rehearse, and a few of these guys just met. We need to get to know each other, and it's cold outside and it's wet. They said, hey, we're not your promoter, he's on vacation. I'm a bartender, he's a mountain, and the merch girl's stuck at the train station. I said, hey, we can roll with this. Could you please be the slightly hospitable? They said, what do you mean, roll with this? Are you from California, dude? said, no, we're just wondering if you could be the slightest bit more affable. And they said,
this is not possible.
So we said, fuck you guys, this has been a waste of our time. We headed out of that dreary ass place. May I suggest a place when your jet lag is hell? It's 20 minutes outside of Frankfurt. It's called the Romantic Hotel. In the suburb of Frankfurt, in a place called Schloss Reddershaw. That's right, the Romantic Hotel is Schloss Reddershaw. Schloss Reddershaw. In Schloss Reddershaw. The Romantic Hotel in Schloss Reddershaw. There are goats and sheep and horses outside. The lady at the desk is very polite. We said, we know we're here early, but could we possibly get into our rooms early if it's not too much trouble? And she said,
yes, this is possible.
We go to lunch and the waiter brings three types of sauce, and he politely and eloquently describes them all. I said, could I possibly get a decaffeinated coffee with cream? He said, Americano, espresso, latte, what do you mean? I said, I mean just a decaffeinated coffee with cream. And he said,
yes, this is possible.
Then I went to bed, and I was so tired I slept past 9 p.m. I went to the front desk and she said, I'm sorry you missed your dinner. The restaurant is closed, sleepy man. I said, but you don't understand. I traveled a very long way from the USA. Can you please check with your kitchen and see what they say? And the guy from the kitchen came out and said, sure, I remember you. You're the guy who likes the tagliatelle. I said, yeah, that's me. Thanks for remembering. I'm the guy who likes the tagliatelle. I said, could I please order it again? And the chef said,
yes, this is possible.
I woke up an hour too late. My band members seemed mildly hostile. I said, I know we gotta get on the road for Holland, but I'm hungry. Do you mind if I eat as quick as possible? They said, sure, but we're late. But I guess your request is totally reasonable. And they said to me, Mark,
yes, this is possible.
I asked the waiter, could I please get a glass of water? He said, perhaps you'd like sparkling or still in a large bottle. I said, sparkling, please, if it's not too much trouble. He said, of course not.
Yes.
Then when we arrived in Utrecht, the hotel was delightful, not like the one they put us in Frankfurt, a youth hostel. I asked the front desk, could I please get a few extra blankets and maybe a pillow? And she said,
yes.
Late at night, we went on a hunt for food. The place had many things to choose from, burgers and shawarmas and falafels. I said, could I possibly get some fries and a falafel? And the man said,
yes, this is possible.
Then after I ate my falafel, my stomach felt awful. I asked the front desk lady if she had some Pepto-Bismol. She said, well, we have the Dutch version, but I have to warn you, it tastes very awful. I said, that's no problem, can I have some, please? And she said, as they say when in Holland, do like the Dutch. So I went to a hen house to feel a hen's touch. I said, could I possibly buy an hour of your time if it's not too much trouble? And the hen said, so the moral of the story is in the country of Holland, whatever you ask for, they say, yes, this is possible. But in the city of Frankfurt, whatever you ask for, they say, this is not possible. people in the suburb of Reddishaw. Right outside of Frankfurt, there's a peaceful hotel that's amiable and comfortable. I highly recommend it. Take your girlfriend there for a week. It's dreamlike and magical and serene and quaint. Now if Germany calls and says, would you guys like to come over here and play a festival? I'll say, sure, if you can put my band at the Romantic Hotel in Schlossreiterschau. But if Germany says, well, Mark, this is not possible, then I'm gonna say, sorry.
This is not possible.
But if they call and ask, would you like to play Berlin again? Of course I'm gonna say.
Yes, this is possible.
Is it possible? My favorite Lou Reed album is Berlin.
Yes, this is possible.
Is it possible? The band Berlin wrote a song called Sex. It gave me a raging boner when I was 15. Is it possible? My favorite Jonathan Richman song is called Hospital.
Yes, this is possible.
Is it possible that J.D. Salinger wrote my very favorite novel?
Yes, this is possible.
Is it possible that my favorite meal is chicken and waffles? Is it possible the United States president needs to be admitted to a mental hospital?
Yes, this is possible.
Is it possible that I'm singing this song in Berlin in front of thousands of people at night? Possible I'm actually in the studio in the Tenderloin in San Francisco, and the studio singing to Jim on drums, Ramon on guitar, Jeff on bass, Chris on keyboards, with Nathan behind me engineering, and I'm in a vocal booth.
Yes, this is possible.
Is it possible? Of course. Sun Kill Moon. This is not possible from the 9th studio album, This Is My Dinner, released in November 2018 on Caldo Verde record label. Ah.
Do you know what Caldo Verde is?
It's some sort of green soup.
We had it last year for the first time.
Yeah, over here.
In Villa Franca de Zero.
We did, yeah. And it's
with our friends really, Danny and Tiago.
It is indeed, yeah. I said some kind, I know, because I've eaten it, so
yeah.
I'm just waking up.
It's a soup.
Yeah.
A Portuguese soup. Carry
it
on,
is.
Sorry.
Okay, that's right.
Right, darling.
So it's produced by lead singer and founding member Mark Kozelek. Second album released that year, mm-hmm. 2018. Now, he's a bit of a controversial figure, old Mark, but, you know, regardless of the controversy that surrounds the fellow, this track was presented to us by our eldest son, James Campbell. He did a playlist. How about you share a playlist between us all? Because we love music. And he said, take a listen to this. And I'd never heard of Sun Kill Moon before. And it made me laugh so much. And it's just been on our minds for, well, all last year and all this year. It's a great... Because what I love about it is that it talks about the life of a band really on the road.
Yeah,
you know?
Like a travel log.
Yeah, and it's a travel log. But, you know, the fact that he keeps talking about this romantic hotel in Schlossreiterschau and take your girlfriend to this one. And it's, you know, in Frankfurt. Now, you know, Frankfurt, the people in Frankfurt I've found actually delightful. Unfortunately, he hasn't. And, you know, but he does do a lot of touring in Europe, doesn't he? And that's where he seems to spend most of his time, in Sweden, Norway. And he's done an awful lot of songs about life on the road in these countries. And he did one on Portugal.
Yeah. And he's got a big love for a lot of Europe, actually.
Yeah. He's a very interesting guy. But what I love about this whole thing, of course, I love the production. It's like so laid back and chilled. And you've got to listen to the thing as a one. You can't just dip into it. you know.
Yeah.
You've got to listen to it because the story develops and it's really great.
Well, we know this from experience, like you know, because what I love about it is that we've had these experiences. You know, when you've played a festival stage and you try and get a beer and the bar's closed. And I remember, I won't say the name, but we were somewhere and a different part of the world. And I remember just saying a line out of the Blues Brothers, just like, "Hi, we're rock and roll musicians and we'd like a beer, please." And it was like, "No, the bar's closed." It was like, "What do you mean? We've just kind of played and rocked out on your main stage." And it was like, "Nope, bar's closed." It's like, "You what?" And it's a little bit like, you know, when you think that when you get to headline a gig and you go back to the hotel and the bar's closed, it's like, this doesn't feel like it should be. And in a way, this Sun Kill Moon track is like, nope, this is not possible. And I want to tell you something, right? Because I've just Googled this now or looked on the internet on a search engine and I found this, the Romantic Hotel, and there's a review on TripAdvisor, the hotel from this very song.
Right.
"Great place to stay when you're jet-lagged as hell. There are goats and sheep and horses outside, and the lady at the desk is very polite. Even if you arrive early, it's possible to check in. The restaurant has three types of salt, and it's possible to order decaf coffee with cream. It's also possible to order tagliatelle after 9 p.m. So I love the fact, because we were joking, weren't we, about actually next time we're touring Germany, we should go and actually stay just for the crack, you know.
We are definitely going to go. Absolutely, definitely going to go. Talking of the band, Sun Kill Moon, they were formed in 2002, named after the Korean super flyweight boxer Sung Kil Moon, and evolved from his own indie rock band, Red House Painters, who signed to 4AD.
Yeah.
4AD being run by our friend Edward Horrocks, who used to be in my band, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And initially, he didn't feel comfortable on stage and didn't like doing interviews. And he's actually a very abrasive character, isn't he, really?
Yeah, he's troublesome.
Yeah. And for covering songs from other genres, his solo album, What's Next to the Moon, is a covers album of AC/DC songs,
yeah,
which I haven't actually listened to yet. No. I probably will do. And he's released 31 albums over his career so far.
So he's quite prolific. I think he just, like, from what I mean, it's a really good place to start with this song, because when you look into what he's done and the band and the bands that he's been in, it's overwhelming. It's too much. So it's like I can't. You need to kind of just start by song, I think. But I think what was interesting is that with the 4AD signings in his early years, you know, they thought, oh my God, this is going to be. He had these comparisons to Leonard Cohen, and you know, they really were like singing his praises, but it's a life of ups and downs for this chap.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, and he was also, go on, are you going to say
it? No, go on, go on. No, please.
One of our favourite films as well, well, one of mine actually.
Yeah.
Not so much yours, is Almost Famous. And his mate Cameron Crowe cast it. He was in the band Stillwater. He played Larry Fellows and he was the bass player.
And I didn't know that.
No.
That's amazing.
How cool is that though? I mean, what a film. I mean, just if there's a film that really captures that kind of teenage, those emotions and what it's like to be around that kind of buzz and just excitement, is that film.
Pushing through the market square, so many mothers sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew he was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies, I saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse, it had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store.
hanging there, and all the fat, skinny people, and all the tall, short people, and all the nobody people, and all the somebody people. I never thought I'd need so many people. Girl my age went off ahead, hit some tiny children. If the black hadn't pulled her off, I think she would have killed them. A soldier with a broken arm fixed his death to the wheels of a Cadillac. Cop knelt and kissed the feet of a priest, and a queer threw up the sight of that. I think I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long, smiling and waving and looking so fine. Don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor, and I thought,
David Bowie. 5 years. It's from his fifth studio album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. Released on the 16th of June. I love that title. It makes me giggle. In 1972 on the RCA record label. And I've had a revelation. Can I just tell you what I've had a revelation about?
A revelation?
Well, when we do the show, we listen to every song. We don't talk, we listen to the song and then we talk, don't we? It's
organic.
It's organic.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
And I just had this feeling, this thought about David Bowie, because, you know, sometimes part of the research I did with this, I just went, who is David Bowie? Because it's like, who is David Bowie? And I was thinking, you know what, in his music, we've all got the best of David Bowie. Because if you met him, there's only so many best friends you can have, and there's only so many friends you could know in the world.
Mm.
So many people you can meet in the world. And we've got the best of this man in the music that he's recorded, because we can all be part of his gang. We can all sit in the corner on those little velour, little booths with our big coloured shirts, you know, yeah, and our big makeup and our bleached hair. And we can all sit and have a drink with him. Because it's like when he said the nobody people and the somebody people, and I didn't realize how many people that he needed. It got me. I've never had that before with him. You know, just listening to it then, I was like, what? what's going on? And it's like, this is David Bowie, like, but it's like that song is, and his voice crumbles and it cracks as it gets on, and it's like, what a magnificent song.
Well, it is, and the interesting thing about this is that, I mean, they used to fire albums out fast and furious over in that period in the early 70s, and it was only 2 years later, or 18 months, that he actually did Diamond Dogs, which Diamond Dogs was like a dystopian or a view of the dystopian future, you know, where you know the earth was crumbling and there was mutants and all that sort of carry on came through, and this was like a precursor to it, really. And you know the subject matter is really great, you know, and he really is into that subject matter. It was 5 years left, you know.
I mean, it's hard hitting, you know, because that's like, you know, being given a terminal diagnosis, but for everybody,
yeah. Yeah, and we love David Bowie. I mean, if you listen to our 110 shows previous, you'll know that we do love David Bowie. We play chords. I think it's the first time we've played this track.
Yeah.
But of course, I think the strings were arranged by Ronno.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was
every
Ronno,
time
because Ronno.
Mick Ronson.
You know, Mick Ronson, yeah. What a magnificent musician he was, because he was far more than a guitar player. And I mean, he looked great. He was from Hull, and he was a very basic northern man, really, in terms of his upbringing and the way he thought, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, I say but, and he was just a marvellous musician. I mean, a great guitar player, really very instrumental in this sound of David Bowie. And it was very sad what happened between David Bowie and Mick Ronson. We'll never know the full story because they're both dead now. You know, there's been interviews and speculation about, you know, money and all that sort of carry on. But at the end of the day, this album, and the albums Ronno was on, and the Spiders, you know, Woody Woodmansey, you know, Trevor Boulder. I mean, they're just marvellous musicians. And this is produced by Ken Scott, of course, who worked with the Beatles.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've read, and I think we've mentioned this before, but we read Ken Scott's book. And he seems a bit of an arse, actually. I'm sorry, Ken, but, you know, I'm afraid he came over a little bit arsey in that book.
A bit cocky, really.
Yeah, and you know, he's done some marvellous stuff, and I'm not criticising his work at all, because his work is just sensational. This album is tremendous. It's a classic, you know. But the whole thing about this album is, I think the production is really outstanding.
Yeah.
It is great, you know. And you always think of Tony Visconti when you think of David Bowie, because David used him a lot over the years on different albums. But this is interesting. He took a break.
Yeah. What was interesting too is like when you start looking at what people have said about it, because sometimes when I'm researching the show, and it's just like, oh, I want us to talk about, you know, and you to have an opinion about, you know, what the music is for you personally. But Ned Raggett, our mate, he said that it's easily one of the greatest album opening songs ever.
Mm.
And you wouldn't think that, but then you think, he's got a point there, you know? And it follows on from like his Space Oddity song in 69. And you've got this original pop chameleon and this fantastical sci-fi character. And later on, of course, he wrote Fame, didn't he? With Carlos, I love it, Carlos Alomar and John Lennon. First American number one single in 1975. I mean, this is great, isn't it, with people hanging out?
Well, Carlos Alomar, I mean, he was with David Bowie for a long time, a great guitar player.
Yeah.
Very funky, very, very original sound, you know, and he really gave some great sound to it.
Well, I read as well, you know, because we had like the Brit Awards and the Grammys recently, and Harry Styles has been obviously...
Who?
Harry. He's from Holmes Chapel up north.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the One Direction, Never Harry Styles. Him. But what was interesting, this guy actually was writing a piece about him, and he was just saying that Bowie's done it all. Like, and you know when you don't really want to diss anyone?
Mm.
And I think what it is, I really love what Harry's doing, what he means to people, but you can't help but think, well, it actually has been done, like, even before Bowie. It's like, and it starts to get you to think a little bit deeper as well about what is it that people fought for, and what were they up against? And that's really, you know, like Bowie when he was on that news program fighting, talking about men having long hair.
Yeah.
And the reasons why, you know, because in my school in Ross and Wye, John Cole High School, we had the Ross Grammar School. Then that was closed and amalgamated. So the man of Ross is John Cole. So the school's named after John Cole, K-Y-R-L-E.
Okay.
Right. And there was a lad in the sixth form who was told to cut his hair, who had the same haircut, long curly hair, as John Cole.
Is that right?
I know. Yeah. So I'm thinking, why was that? And we had this fight back in the 80s, early 80s, you know, about just actually can guys wear their hair long? And like, no, you have to cut your hair. It's like, well, look, the guy, when you walk into school, John, me mate John Cole, the man of Ross, who like looked up the benefactor of my hometown, had long curly ringlets. What is your problem?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's
and
crazy.
You know the other thing as well, just talking about Bowie, going back to Bowie as well, is that I think the reason why he's so different and what I loved about him was that he was an actor as well, an accomplished actor, and I think that he created characters, because I think actually when some of the interviews that we've watched them, you're saying he was quite shy and introverted and he liked to be a character as opposed to himself. So you had like, he starred in The Man Who Fell to Earth in 1976 as well. And he was in, what was it? Shut up. It's all of the gnomes and stuff. What, Labyrinth? The Goblin King or something.
Great
character.
Yeah, he's a great actor, you know. He's a great artist. But just going back to the recording of this album, it was done at Trident Studios. When we had our studio in Valencia, we had a Trident console there, which was great. And it was constructed by Norman Sheffield in the 60s. And he was in a group called The Hunters. And his brother Barry. And Manfred Mann helped launch the studio. The Beatles recorded Hey Jude there. Elton John, Your Song, Lou Reed's Transformers was recorded there, of course. Right about the same time, because Bowie actually produced it. Well, actually, Rono produced it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's got a great heritage, great production, great song. We miss David Bowie. Alessandra Soletti in a landscape from the album Minimal. We think it's a 25th album released on the 25th of August 2020 on Piano Ramix label, written by the wonderful and enigmatic John Cage. Now, this lady is very difficult to find stuff about. You know, it really is. She's an Italian pianist, vocalist, songwriter and composer, and she does interpretations of minimalist classics from likes of John Cage, of course, Arvo Pärt, Philip Glass and Erik Satie. And we started listening to this when we were researching our Starlight One project, which is our new multimedia project, because we wanted to broaden our musical horizons somewhat. In, you know, I mean, we've got here thousands, well, not thousands, we've got thousands of tracks, loads of albums, vinyl, CDs, got everything here. And we were trying to push our boundaries to inform us a bit more. So we started listening to this. It's really cool. We started listening to John Cage. And this interpretation, we thought, was absolutely wonderful. And what I do love about it is in the notes is that apparently John Cage, it had to be played with the damper pedal down and the sustain pedal on full. So in other words, you can hear all the other notes ringing. Yeah. There's no rhythm to it. It's like a very, you know, all the notes at the back build up, don't they? It's really crazy sound, but very beautiful, you know, very haunting.
There's a lot of people that we're discovering, actually, because it's like, you know, we really want to live like now, but you've also got to understand as well that some of these love letters, some of these letters, these stories are just going to always be relevant.
Yeah.
So you've got this guy, John Cage, and he's a minimalist solo. This is a minimalist solo piano work composed for the idea he wanted to sober and quiet the mind, thus rendering it susceptible to divine influences.
Wow.
I mean, how magnificent.
And he wrote this as a tribute to Erik Satie, didn't he?
Yeah, it's like, and there's another dude. So there's like John Cage, and then you've got like Erik Satie. He was like this amazing, troublesome, and everyone's troublesome. If you're going to do anything, you've got to be a bit troublesome, I think. French 20th century music influence, 1866 to 1925. A French composer, an original and eccentric character, became a classic of contemporary culture. He inspired John Cage, helped shape the foundation of the New York School with Wolf and Feldman, inspired West Coast minimalism, chaps like Terry Riley.
Who we'll listen to.
Yep, Steve Reich. And Brian Eno created today's ambient music from his idea of music d'ameublement.
Oh.
Musique d'ameublement.
Keep talking French, darling.
Moi, je vais. Which means furniture music, which is background music. So Satie actually created like this whole idea of like being played by live musicians, but it's meant to be background music.
And at that time as well, I mean, he was very connected with the Dada movement as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Satie. And this whole artistic movement in the 20s. I mean, it's quite fascinating. And what I do love is that when you look at John Cage being influenced by Satie, and then you look at like David Bowie being and Scott Walker, you know, being influenced by Jacques Brel, and then, you know, and all these people, they all stand on the shoulders of giants, which is, you know, it's a marvelous thing. And it's not copying. It's not sort of, it's not plagiarism. What it is, it's just, it's just a development, isn't it? It's taking something and then just, you know, putting another screw in it and giving it another purpose, you know? So it's beautiful.
Isn't this like children, though, and the way that the biggest gift you can give to anyone, whether you're 98 or 9, is that when you meet people and the influences they have, it's like, you know, when you talk to really interesting people and they open up to worlds and ways of thinking and experiences and adventures that you've never had before, you can kind of go traveling with them. And I think it's that, it's collating all those influences. And this is what I like about Alessandra. She's Italian. She writes her own music. And in the summer of 2013, I love this, right? She took a piano around Italy on the back of a truck with the project. It was called Piano Piano on the Road.
I hope it didn't end up on the road. I hope it stayed on the truck.
Can you imagine that? There's this lovely lady, like Italian lady, these flowing blonde locks, and she's got this piano on the back of a truck, of a lorry, and she's
fantastic.
There. And it's just driving slowly through all these towns and villages in Italy.
Oh, she's playing while it was actually driving.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, this is what I mean. I mean, I really like this lady. I think we need to find out
tuning?
More about
her. I bet the piano tuning was following on the... Anyway.
Well, I think it's really, really brilliant. And so So I mean, this woman actually, you know, I think she's a little bit troublesome too. She had some crazy ideas. She's got great ideas, and I love her for that. And there's this film director called Patrice Lecomte. And he said about her, when she sits at the piano, she shines with a light that makes her even more beautiful. She told me about her project. It was a bit crazy, but exciting and original. Her idea was to take the music far and wide and seduce people along the miles. And I imagine her sitting at a piano aboard a large truck, shrouded by the light of the sunset, while the stars up there start to draw the blue sea sky. She lets herself go to the sweetest melodies, like a dreamed image of a film by Fellini.
I was wrong. I knew right away, but I played it cool. That trick never works. Long. And then I got mad because you got mad. Another one of my delightful quirks. What a jerk. If I were to smile at you, would you smile at me?
Tango. apology letter from their 17th studio album, This Stupid World, released on the 10th of February in 2023, this year. Recently, it's fresh, by Matador Records.
When it came out, I thought, I need to listen to this.
Yeah.
I can't remember, I saw it on a blog somewhere and said, and they were talking about them as though I should know. And I'd never heard of them before. And they've been around for absolutely ages.
Yonkers bonkers, yeah.
And really a long time, you know. It was 80s.
38 years.
Yeah, 38. Yeah, unbelievable, you know. And I'd never heard of them. I can't believe it. So, check this record out. And some of it, it's really avant-garde. I mean, it sounds like Velvet Underground-y. It sounds... But I picked this track because I just fell in love with that bass.
Really?
Yeah, and I love that, but that beautiful, beautiful bass guitar, you know, round wind strings. It's really beautifully played. He's pushing it slightly. And the husband and wife team of Georgia Hubley and Ira Kaplan, drums and guitar respectively, wrote it, of course. But James McNew played bass, did the vocals, some vocals, bass guitar, engineering, mixing, production. Very, very cool. Very cool indeed. And they're the critics' choice, aren't they? I mean, the critics love
them. Yeah, they're like, they always say they're like they're a band for the critics or something. They've got sort of limited mainstream success. They're called the quintessential critics band, but they've got this cult following.
Mm.
It's just, but they started off... Like, when you read about them, they just started off because they liked the feeling of playing together. I think it was like four albums in when they thought, oh, we better do something about it. I think that's when James came on board, you know. I mean, they just, that's what I like about it. He's, you know, I watched a video of him playing live the other day, and James has got this straight jack. He hasn't got one of those angle jacks going into his bass. I'm like, man, get one of those angle ones. They're really good for your bass. So, but it was interesting.
You stand on the cable, it rips the jack.
Exactly.
Socket.
I was looking at him and go, come on, man, sort your cables out. But I loved the way he was playing because he was giving it a bit of feedback. He stood right by his cab and he was like,
great,
pulling those strings and giving it some sort of like...
Well, this album was, it's basically a jam, isn't it? It was like, and they just recorded it. And I love at the end that you can hear the buzzing of the amps and stuff, you know, because it's probably some type of single coil
picking. We love that.
Yeah, and it's lovely, you know, really, really cool. And dead fresh. I thought it was dead fresh. And I love that line, you know, I got mad because you got mad. And that's a really lovely line, you know.
Do you know, it's funny.
And that is, to me, relationships.
It's true. Because it's like, if you get mad, sometimes I'll get mad because you're mad.
No.
And it's weird. And you go, well, I'm not really mad. But you end up getting mad because you got mad.
That's
something.
Right. Oh, it's fantastic.
It's
anyway.
Interesting. But so this was, basically, it was around this sort of COVID time. Like, and it was recorded in their studio between 2020 and 2022.
Okay.
Mastered by Greg Calbi, another guy. When you honestly, this guy, he's mastered over 7,500 albums of a huge magnitude.
Bloody
Let's
hell.
Not talk about it because it's just incredible. But I mean, they just, I just love this band. I think I'm going to have to, I'm 38 years. What are we going to do? We've got lots of music to discover.
We certainly have. So anyway, that was the last track from the show.
Yeah.
You can catch it every week, of course, on the Supertone Show. And at the same time, simultaneously we release a blog article on our blog Vibes, which is vibes.starlight-campbell.com.
Yeah.
And you can find us on there. And we write about all sorts of stuff. It's really cool. And you can sign up. It's free to subscribe. It's really cool. We love doing it, and we love doing the show as well. So
yeah, and there's also our website if you want to check out any of our music. It's Starlight, as LITE-Campbell. I love the way you say that because it's like Camp and Bell. Campbell is Campbell, as in soup.
Yeah, but some people spell it wrong.
I know, but it's really
odd. C-A-M-B-L-E. I've seen C-M. Anyway, also,
it's like,
anyway,
you know, when I say that with people, Starlight, it goes, yeah, L-I-T-E. Anyway, it's starlight-campbell.com.
And just to finish, Jason, yeah? Grayson Haver-Curran said in Pitchfork about Yola Tango, are a band that would rather write new music for commercials than cash in on past glories. This stupid world, that's all we have.